The Lord bless each and every one tonight. And we do give everyone a warm welcome into our service in the name of the Lord. Praise God. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, I want to read verse 13 and 14 of Matthew chapter 7. Many of these scriptures, most of us know it, but I really felt to preach this little message tonight. And I had to go read over all my scriptures and everything today, but the Lord bless His word. Amen. Matthew 7 verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Let's just bow our heads again for word of prayer tonight. And we went to remember also Sammy's father in prayer. He's not too well either. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just bow before you in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do come from thy footstool into thy very throne room and into thy very presence by the new and living way, through the precious shed blood of the Lamb. We thank thee for the potency of the blood of the Lamb. Thy blood shall never lose its power, till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Father, we come pleading the merits of that blood tonight over this house, and over all that's in it, and all that's near and dear to us. We plead the power of the blood of the Lamb. Wash us afresh in the blood of the Lamb, and we shall be whiter than snow. Purge us, and we shall be the kiss of sanctify us, and will praise thy name. We pray the Lord this evening for a brother MacDonald in Scotland, that thou wilt touch him and bless him at this time, even in his old age. Give him strength, we pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you for the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And I take that Holy Spirit by faith in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank you, undertake for me. Lord, as a brother prayed, anoint thy word now to their hearts and speak to thy people and speak to all that will hear this word, we pray. For we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Praise God. I want to just take for the text tonight from this two ways. I know I've preached this before, but I'm going to preach it again. Amen. Amen. Enter ye in at the straight gate. Praise God. The straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many be which go in thereat. Now we know that there's only two ways, man's way and God's way. And man's way is an imagination, but God's way is a revelation. There's man's way and there's God's way. And the Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Man left to himself can never reach God. Man left to himself dead and lost and far from God. That's why man needs God's provided way. And God's provided way is the Lord Jesus Christ. One way and only one. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. There's not two ways or three ways or four ways. There is one way. Bless God, as our brother Gary said, about all the graves. I told a man recently, I said, you know why real Christianity has a punch of power with it over all other religions? He says, I don't know. I said, the reason it has a punch of power and strength over all other religions is because of a man called Jesus. Amen. I said, every and no sin could be found in him. And I said death had no claim upon him. But he willingly stepped into death, took it on, challenged it, conquered it, and defeated it. And on the third day, raised from the dead, triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. Buddha and Muhammad are still in the grave. They never conquered death. They never conquered hell. And they certainly never conquered the grave. But my Jesus did all three. Not only did he that, but the Bible says he is sat down. That means the work's finished. Nothing can be added to it. For he has done enough.
Amen.
Praise God. Enough for me has Jesus done. Sat down, finished the work. He cried on the cross, it's finished.
Yes, amen.
I tell you, it was finished. No other man could do what our Savior's done. Praise God tonight. I want you to see this tonight, these two ways. I want you to see in our text we have read tonight, there's two gates. There's two ways, two companies, and there's two ends. We're either on the right way or the wrong way. We're either in the right company or the wrong company. We've either went through the right gate or the wrong gate. Now, there's a few farmers here, and they know what it is when the cattle go in the wrong gate and break your heart and they go where they're not meant to go. But it's great when they go the right way. And the Bible says we all, like sheep, have turned to their own way. But the Lord have laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Christ left the 99 and he went for the one lost sheep. To bring him back into the way. God's way. So man's ways and imagination. Man can never come to God by his works, by his programs, by his rituals. Man can only come to God, God's way. And God's way is the only way. And God hath a way. And that way is the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God tonight. I preached a sermon and I called it God's Appointed, Taking Away a Sin. John saw, and John, when he saw Jesus, says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Nobody ever looked at Buddha or Muhammad and said, "He takes away the sin of the world," for he couldn't. For he himself was a sinner. But this man had no sin. Therefore, he could take away the sin of the world. God's appointed, taking away a sin. The sin remover.
Amen.
Is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. I want you to read you this little quotation tonight. You can't guide yourself. There's two ways, that your way and God's way. And when you're in your way, you're out of God's way. And you have to forget your own way to find God's way. Man cannot lead himself. So there's God's way and there's your way. And people have a saying today, it's the wrong one. So many young people have said to me, "I will do my own thing." When you're doing your own thing, you're not doing God's thing. Because our way is not God's way. God has a way. And God wants us to go His way. My first thought tonight is the way into life. And I want you to see what this life means. The way into life. John 3:36 says this: "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him." So the way into life is through the person of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way into life. You say, "But I'm born and living." No! The Bible says in Ephesians, you are dead in trespasses and sins, but you need the quickening that Ephesians talks about.
Yes.
Aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, Ephesians tells us, having no hope without God in this world. Then it goes on to say, "But by grace through faith." are you saved? Through Christ. By grace, through faith, are you saved? You see, it doesn't matter what revelation God gives us from this book. It doesn't change the revelation He's previously given.
Amen.
It still remains fundamental truth and a fundamental foundation. It never can be changed. And salvation is the truth, and it's the only way to God, and it's through the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. Praise God for it. The gate suggests the idea of a city here, a place of safety, fellowship aplenty. The life which is in Christ is a life, let me tell you what it is, of safety from sin and wrath. The life of Christ is a life of fellowship with God. The life of Christ with Christ is of satisfaction in the fullness of God. And there must be a passing from death unto this life. Our life is temporal. Oh yes. The Bible says the glory of man is like the flower of the grass. It cometh up for a while and it withereth away. But the glory of God is eternal. And our life without Christ is temporal. It will come up and it withers and it's gone. But when you're born again of the Spirit of God, you have received eternal life.
Amen.
Everlasting life.
Amen.
Praise God. That can never fade away. That's the life we need tonight. That eternal life. I want to tell you tonight in John 5 verse 24 it says this. Verily, verily I say unto you, he that heareth my word. And we heard this morning about the word. In the beginning was the word. And that word said, let there be light. And we saw there was light. The word spoke. Amen. The Word.
Amen.
Spoken Word's the original seed.
Amen.
The Word. And here it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, not the church's word, not some other man's word, but the words of Christ.
Amen.
He that heareth my word, and believe in him that sent me, that's God, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation. But it's passed from death unto life. You can put in there, death shall have no more dominion over you. Because Jesus conquered death. And death can't have dominion over you. You say, well, we never die. What about it? What about if you die? What are you worrying about? What about it? Paul says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Oh, I tell you, someone, you know, I heard an old preacher preaching and he said a powerful thing. He was preaching and there was an old brother that had preached for years had passed on. And I don't know if his name was John or let's say it was John. And he says, Brother John has been promoted. I thought that was good. Amen. He didn't have a sad outlook on it. He said he's been promoted to glory. I remember hearing a song many years ago. And the man wrote the song. He lost his little girl. She was very young. He went through a tragic time and he wrote a song, Gathering Flowers for the Master's Bouquet. Beautiful flowers that never decay, transported by angels and carried away, transplanted to bloom in the Master's Bouquet. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. There's no death for the defeat for the Christian. Whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. The three Hebrew children said, you know, when they told them you're going up into the fiery furnace and you're going to be burnt and all the rest of it, and they said, will you bow? And they said, we won't bow. We believe God can deliver us, they said. That was their testimony. And we know what happened. The fourth man came into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. One like the Son of Man. Hallelujah. And he did deliver them. Praise God. Thank God. tonight. I want you to see here it is an open way. It may be straight, but thank God it's not shut. Behold, I've set before thee, Revelation 3, an open door.
Amen.
The door is still open.
Amen.
The door is open tonight that you can come. The door is open tonight that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
The door is open tonight that the Bible says it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God. That whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The door is open. I have set before you an open door. No man can shut it.
Amen.
Don't preach the door's closed when Jesus said it's open. Jesus says, Jesus is the door. The Pope's not the door. The Archbishop's not the door. Some church is not the door. Jesus Christ is the only door. Thank God for the door tonight. And there's only one door. Praise God. This way was closed up by sin, fenced up by the law. Turn with me to Romans 5 and verse 12 till we read a few verses. And you'll see that this way was closed. Romans 5 verse 12. Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So right away, the very first thing you're reading is that death came on every man. That's why a dog couldn't save me. Or a bull. The blood of a bull, the blood of a bullock, or any animal or any creature could never save me. And even in the Old Testament, it never took sin away. It only covered it for a season. It was temporal. But there had to come a life form which was superior. There had to come a life form that was unique. There had to come something with no decay, with no corruption. Did the psalmist David say, "Thou wilt not leave a soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption"?
Yes.
And Christ was raised from the dead on the third day.
Amen.
Death couldn't hold him.
No.
Oh, I'll tell you, if you raised old Buddha or Muhammad tonight, I tell you there's nothing but a heart of bones. But my Savior's risen. Not only is my Jesus risen, but after the rapture takes place, after we go through the tribulation, during the time when the bride's gone, that same Jesus, we're coming back with him.
Amen. That's true.
And that same Jesus will appear to Israel.
Amen.
And they'll say, "Where did you get these marks in your hands?
Right.
These wounds in your body?"
Mm-hmm.
And he'll say, "Receive these in the house of my friends."
Amen.
I tell you, he's coming again.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. Coming for me.
Amen.
Not worried about this world tonight. Oh, quit your worrying. Quit your stressing. What about it if the Lord's coming? Don't build your hopes on things here. Build your hopes on things eternal that will never fade away. Verse 13 says, "For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over all them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come." So even though they didn't commit the original sin, even though they didn't do them things, they still were sinners.
Yes.
Still condemned.
Yes.
Because of the sin of Adam, all were made sinners. For by one man sin entered into the world. One man. But thank God for another man.
Amen.
Another man, the Lord from heaven.
Amen.
For Adam was off the earth earthly, but this is the Lord of glory.
Mm-hmm.
And we shall bear the image of the earthly, but thank God we'll bear the image of the heavenly. That's why this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal put on immortality.
Amen.
I tell you, God's going to change these vile bodies. That's what they are. Hallelujah. I tell you, when God ticks to ticking us, when the rapture actually takes place and we go, we're going to meet the Lord in the air. And we're going to be changed.
Amen.
We're going to be changed in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. Changed. And I'm going to go to be with the Lord. Hallelujah. But I'll tell you, if you're not saved, you'll never go. You need to be saved. I won't read all this, but you can read these scriptures I'm reading, yes. Christ opened the way up through bearing our sins and becoming obedient unto death. It is a new and living way, consecrated, set apart for us. No back doors into the kingdom of God. You come through the front door. Do you ever hear the story of a slippy boy comes through the back door? There's no back doors here. This is only one door. Front door.
Amen.
God is no back door, Christians. Front door.
Amen.
Oh, praise God. John 14 verse 6 says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. When the Pope said, I now can mediate between you and God, he is an apostate. He's antichrist. He cannot mediate between me and God, for he's a sinner. And he's filthy in the eyes of God. He's unclean before God. But this man here can mediate. This man, Jesus. Because he is my true, one and only high priest.
Yes, amen.
He's the one that Job talked about. Job said, if only there was a man, a go-between.
Yes.
Here he is. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved other than the name of Jesus Christ. He is the one. Jesus. None other. I tell you, when you study the reformers, they nailed that truth down hard. And that's still the truth. And it doesn't matter how much we know, it still remains an absolute truth of God's word. One and only one. Mediator. The man Christ Jesus. None other can take this place. Who would be good enough? Show me a man. Moses couldn't do it. He smote the rock when he was told to speak to it. David couldn't do it. Committed adultery, planned a murder. Now that's not to be negative, but it's in the Bible to show you something that you have to see. That there was a man that came. And he never sinned. And he never failed. That's the only. He's greater than them all. Because he's the King of Kings. And he's the Lord of Lords. And every true prophet will point you to him. They came to show him. To represent him. Never themselves. But when you hear a man telling you, I can mediate. Come through me. You know he's false. Let me read you this. What is the door? Revelations 3:8. I know thy works. Behold, I've set before thee an open door. No man can shut it. And no man can open it. He is the door. The door. Christ is the door. He said in St. John 10, I am the door to the sheepfold. And in the old country you find that a shepherd runs in his sheep after he counts them and sees they're all of them in. Then he lays right down in the door. The wolf can't come in without waking up him. or the sheep can't go out without coming over him. Oh, how safely the sheep feel because the shepherd's let down in the door. Noah in the Old Testament stood in the door of the ark. Oh, listen. I'm going to say something. He stood in the door and preached repentance and righteousness to the people that laughed at him. And in the same door he stood in, no man could come into the ark except by that one door. Wasn't but one door in the ark. And there's only one way, all right, brother. There's only one way that goes into the body of Christ. There's only one door to the church of the living God. And Jesus is that door. We're reading it from. Now I want you to see that it is a narrow way. This way. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way. Perhaps like a gate on a sidewalk. Maybe referred to here. Small gate. Where even camels were sometimes dragged through after stripping them of everything. Man needs to be stripped clean before he can enter this door. You can't come through it with all your sin and all your baggage. There must be a true repentance before you come through this door. There must be a laying down of all sin, repenting of it. Then you come through the door. Yes, he'll take you as you are, but he'll change you. You'll have to repent. Matthew 19 verse 24 says, "And again I say unto you that it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." Now, see what coarse money is, rich, cursed money is. No wonder Jesus said, "Scarcely a rich man can enter the gates of heaven." Like the camel going through the eye of the needle has to unload his burdens and get on his knees and crawl under. He can get there, but he has to unload first. And in Jerusalem, the eye of the needle is referred to that the door is left slightly open, the gate. It's almost closed, but it's left slightly open. That's the eye of the needle that the Bible talks about. But for the camel to go through, you have to take all off him, get him crawling through, as it were. Make him as small as you can. You can't come through the door saying, "Well, I'm good enough of myself." You can't come through the door, "I belong to a certain church. I belong to a certain organization." You'll never get in. You must come and say, "I'm a sinner. I'm hell to serve him. Absolutely lost without you, Lord. But I'm coming to you for mercy. I'm repenting of my sins. I'm turning to you, Lord." And the Lord will say, "Come on. My yoke's easy and my burden's light." And he'll bring you through the door. Not only can he come through the door, he'll help you through it. He is that door. Self-righteousness is not admitted. This gate is as narrow as a new birth. The straightness is not with God, but in man's utter unfitness. If the way be narrow, it leads to the large place. Though it's a narrow way, but it leads to the large place. Romans 10 and verse 8 says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." I tell you, our works won't take us. No. Our brother Paolo was just saying this evening about when they were on the honeymoon, this fellow, they were all fasting. The boy was fasting and he said he was a Christian, but he was smoking the fags one after the other. See, there's something wrong there. Brother Branham said, "It bears a false witness of the true tree. Though it claims to be living off the root, but it's bearing a false witness to it." Orange trees will produce oranges. And so many claim to be in Christ, but they're bearing a false witness to Christ. That's why we need the thinking man's filter and the holy man's taste. Hallelujah. We need the purifying of the washing of the water of the Word of God. I tell you, when God says, receives a man, he'll deliver him from fags. And he'll deliver him from drink. Our God's able to do it. And all other addictions, whether it's pornography, gambling, I don't care what it is, Christ will deliver.
Amen.
From every addiction. Because he is the great deliverer. I want you to see this other thought. It is the way of the few. Now this is all from one scripture. Fewer there be that find it. Luke 13:23-26. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto him, verse 24, strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able. And then he goes on to talk about the master of the house, and when the master of the house is risen up, and have shut the door, and ye begin to stand without and knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, know ye not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. There shall, verse 28, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. You have to remember, Jesus was speaking to the religious world here when he preached this sermon. I want you to get this. Jesus Christ is speaking to the religious world of his day. Those that said you're off their father, the devil, that's what they said about Jesus. There was the word, the manifestation before them, and they couldn't see it. They were religious. They said, we have Abraham, we have the prophets, but Jesus said, they fail to recognize it, who Christ was. They said, we know your father. You're a carpenter. How can any good thing come out of Nazareth? But there was the word itself in flesh manifested before them. They should have known when they seen the miracles. They should have known when the blind eyes were opened, the deaf ears were unstopped. They should have known. But they failed to see it. Now I tell you, so is it today. You want to belong to something. I want to tell you tonight, the only thing you need to belong to is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Nothing else. That's what you need to belong to. And you don't join the club, you're born into it. 1 Corinthians tells us, by one spirit are we baptized into one body. The mystical body of Jesus Christ. I tell you, aren't you glad you're in it tonight? I won't read on down these scriptures, but you can read them. Because fewer there be that seek it. Seek and ye shall find. There are few on it, because many there be that shun it. Preferring the darkness to the light, because their deeds are evil. Some put it off. Others hope to stumble into it. By some sort of a chance work. You ever ask people, where will you go when you die? Well, I'm not sure. Oh, I tell you, we have assurance tonight. God's assurance. Oh, I can tell you, when that old brother and woman told me, day after day, every day, oh, she didn't ask, but once she asked me every time she seen me. She said to me, Tommy, are you saved? I says, I'm sure you know I am. She says, how do you know you're saved? Boy, that got me thinking. And then she would say, you know why I asked you? You're not saved because you feel saved. You're not saved because you look saved. You're saved because the Word of God says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The heavens and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Not one jot or tittle till all be fulfilled. God's word's the truth.
Amen.
Oh, you know what's wonderful, the Word of God. You know, our brother and me were just saying this evening when he was to pray for his dad. His back was broke, everything was wrong that could be wrong. There was nobody came with a word to say this will happen or that will happen. There was just a few of them. But her brother took the scriptures from Mark 16 and he believed them. And he went down and laid hands upon his father on his well today and preaching again.
Amen.
Living today. And the doctors can't understand it. I'll tell you, Dr. Jesus has never lost a case.
Amen.
Oh, you know, when Jack Cole was coming down the elevator and there was a woman with her husband and she said, "Oh, Jacko turned around and he said, "Be of good cheer." And she says, "What? What are you talking about? You don't know my case." She says, "But I know Jesus." She told him, "Giving me up with cancer." He laid his hands on her and he prayed for her. And he said, "I want you to go into the ladies' room. Check your body one more time."
Amen.
And she came out screaming.
Mm-hmm.
To her husband, she said, "It's all gone. All gone." That's a miracle.
Amen.
But our God works them.
Amen.
God works miracles. I believe in miracles.
Amen.
Because I believe in God.
Amen.
God is a God of miracles.
Amen.
When you take the miracles out of this Bible, you don't have a Bible.
No.
This is a book of miracles.
Amen.
God wants you to take them on His Word. Wants you to believe His Word.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel any. What do you want to feel? What do you want to feel? I want to feel goose pimples. I want to feel bumps. You can have all the feeling in the world. It's good to have it. But without feeling nothing, you must understand one thing here tonight. Jesus felt it all at the cross.
Amen.
And He took your pain, He took your sorrow, and He took your suffering, and He says, "By my stripes ye were healed."
Amen.
Took it all.
Right.
And He says, "If you'll only believe,
Amen.
All things are possible."
Right.
If you'll only believe. Praise God. I'm getting off my subject, but nevertheless. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." I want you to see also in this text the way of destruction in this passage. Oh, I tell you, there's destruction for the Christ rejecter. The word destruction here means loss. And it is an awful, significant thing. Yes. It is the loss of that which alone can save and satisfy. Like a watch losing its mainspring. Like a plant losing the earth it grows in. The plant will die. The plant will wither. The watch is no use. And a man without Christ is dead. He's lost. Oh, you say, "Brother, we are saved tonight and you're preaching so hard. That's a good job. I'll never change. Pray you that I won't." Whatever time you get somebody that doesn't preach like that, he's no use. I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want? Why is your story? "Oh, but brother, we've heard the gospel before." I'll tell you one thing, it's refreshment every time I hear it.
Yeah.
You never can hear it. Paul said the preaching of the cross is the power of God.
Amen.
Unto salvation.
Yes.
"That I would know nothing else amongst you, but save Jesus Christ and Him crucified."
Amen.
"And risen from the dead."
Praise God.
Praise God. Oh, I'll tell you, this way here is no good without the Lord. It's a broad way. Oh, a broad, big way.
Mm-hmm.
The devil's ways are big and beautiful to look But they're death. Absolute death. It suits the carnal mind. There's plenty of room in it for all the sinner's likes and pleasures. The world, the flesh, the devil is full scope here. It is broad enough for the staggering drunkard, for the dishonest, for the unclean, for the scoffer and the proud and the haughty, and for the religious formalists. They're all in this way. All of them. There's a whole lot in this way wearing collars. Oh yes. And cloaks. And they're on this broad way. They don't know Christ, for they never talk about Him. Don't tell me a man's a minister if he does not preach Jesus Christ. He's no minister. He's an apostate. He's an invader. Pulpit invader. He's of the devil, not of God. I tell you, every minister will preach Christ. What else would he preach? Amen. He can't preach him in the church. He can't preach him in himself. His message must be Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And Christ alone.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I tell you, when you read some of the testimonies of the great men of God, how God saved them. What did William Branham see in the old shed? Seen a cross. Bright light as a cross. And he knelt down before the Saviour. William Owen met the Lord in a field and he got saved. Billy Bray was a coal miner, cursed like the devil himself and drunk like him. But his wife prayed, and she couldn't understand why he hadn't come down out of his room. She found him knelt before God, praying and weeping his way to Calvary. I tell you, when God saves a man, he'll not need to tell you, you'll know it. He'll be changed, transformed by the power of God. Born again of an incorruptible seed. This way is broad. I'll tell you, not only is it broad, it's crowded. It's crowded tonight. It's terrible, but it's true. Look at the young people tonight running in this broad way. And as a minister and as a man that preaches, we have to be careful that we give them the right message. Because we've got to be accountable for God. How many funerals have you been at when the mark's been missed? Oh, I tell you, they're running in this broad way. God doesn't hate the sinner. God loves the sinner. But he hates the sin. My Bible says God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. God loves the unsaved. He wants to save them. We have a duty to tell them about Christ. I tell you, it's broad tonight. Oh, the devil's a decorated well. Well, there's flashing lights in the discos. And it's not so much drink today, it's drugs today. Some weak critter go out and take the wrong pill. They're dead. And some disciple of the devil with a bag full, sell them out. I tell you, we're living in wicked times. Evil times. And people say we don't need the gospel today. Brother, wake it up tonight. We need the gospel more than ever in this age. God's prophet stood up and he said, God, raise up young men. And sweep it to the coming of the Lord. That means don't stop till the Lord takes you. Oh, it's crowded tonight, isn't it? It's broad. It's crowded. They can't get down this road fast enough. It's terrible. Many go in there not easy going with it down the hill. Generally, man's first choice is the broad way. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Let me read you this. But it is easy to go the way the world goes. It's easy to flow down the stream. Go out there and sit down in the river with your boat. You get your oars and start pulling up against the current. You don't make much time. It goes. goes hard. But you just once let loose in the oars and watch how fast you pass the trees going down. But look where you're going. When things are floating easy, remember you're going towards a great cataract down there, some sort. You're going toward the fall, and it won't be long. You'll be going over that falls, just flooding with the world. Easy the way it goes. You don't want that, no sir. But you must reset and respect your way. You have a responsibility tonight to choose the right way. And that's from a man running from the presence of God. I tell you, I don't want to run from him. I want to run into his arms. The best thing that ever happened to Tommy McKinstry was when he ran into the arms of Jesus. Best thing. Oh, I tell you another thing about this way. It's a fatal way. I'm closing. This is my last thought. This way is fatal. Fatal. Absolutely fatal. There's but one only possible end to this way, destruction. As sure as a stone sinks in the sea, will the man or woman perish who follows not the Lord. I tell you, he'll sink like a stone sinking in the ocean. You must follow the Lord. I want to tell you tonight, love each other while you can. And pray for each other. Don't be fighting and fussing. Pray for each other. Love each other. And when you come to the prayer meeting, pray for your brother's children. And he'll pray for your children. That's unity. The Bible says where there's unity, God commands the blessing. God commands it. Where there's unity. But for there's evil and strife, the Bible says there's every evil work. That's the devil. God doesn't want that. God wants unity. Ezekiel 33 verse 11. And this scripture's precious to me. Do you know that? Say unto them as I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. For why will you die, O house of Israel? I remember my Uncle John preaching this from this scripture in Edom Church well over 20 years ago. And I remember some of the people that was in that meeting. And some of them still not serving the Lord. And I tell you, God's give fair warning. God's give fair warning. Do you realize someday it's going to be played back? It's all recorded. Amen. There's going to be no excuse. It's going to be played back. Amen. They won't say to you, what a way did Tommy McKinstry live, or Brother John live, or what about the church, or what about this, or what about this? You won't be asked that. No. It'll never be a question. The question be, what have you done with Jesus called Christ? That'll be the question. That's what God will ask. What have you done with Jesus called Christ? Have you accepted him? Have you followed him? Jeremiah 21 verse 8 says, and unto this people thou shalt say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. Now for you that saved tonight, I believe all of you are saved. What are you going to speak? The Bible says that it's within your tongue. It's within your tongue. The power of life and death. What are you going to speak? I've set before you life and I've set before you death. What are you going to speak? I can show you a king in this Bible and he was going to die. He was definitely going to die. But they fasted and prayed and God gave him 15 more years. Because people asked for it. God hears prayer. But what are you going to say about it? When a brother went and prayed for his dad, he didn't say, well, like, there's not much point in that. He believed. He said, Lord, this is your word. We believe in your word. Yes, there's temptations not to believe. There's all the signs not to believe. But we're believing your word. For your word's the truth. Let everybody be a liar. But God's word the truth. For he's not a man that he should lie. Nor the son of man that he needs to repent. That's the words of Jesus Christ. There's nobody like him. What are you going to say about it? What are you going to say about the wee fellow that's away tonight? Not saved. You're going to look at what he's drinking. You're going to look at what you're smoking. You're going to look at the sin they're in. Or you're going to look to the cross. Are you going to claim them under the blood? He's going to say, you're going to come. For I'm praying for them. I've claimed them. God wants us to talk like we believe. I tell you tonight, they might be far away tonight, but thank God Jesus is only a prayer away. Let's come and bow our heads tonight. I want you to have faith tonight. I'm not going to ask nobody to lift hands or nothing. You don't know who's listening in these messages. But oh, I would to God that they'd take it serious for the things of God. I want you to be encouraged tonight. I want you to talk the right talk. I want you to believe for your family. I'm believing for mine. I want you to believe with me. Oh, but they've been so long and they've never come, but believe they will come. Believe God will change them. Our God's able. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight. Lord, you're only a prayer away. Oh Lord, you know our hearts tonight. You know everything about us. Lord, before we pray, you said you'll answer. Show us great and mighty things that we don't even know about. Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight. We pray there'll be a manifestation of your word. Lord, like a brother said this morning, you did it and it was manifested. And nobody needed to explain it because you've done it. We ask you, Lord, for a mighty manifestation of your power upon our brother Sammy tonight. Lord, breathe into his lungs, I pray. By the breath of the Holy Ghost. Lord, you said that you hold the very breath we breathe. Breathe into him tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Breathe upon that young man. Breathe upon that young woman. Turn them tonight to the broad road. And bring them to the saving knowledge of the truth. Pray for every wife, for every husband, for all that's near and dear to everyone that's in this room tonight. I ask that the blood of Jesus Christ will cover them all. Pray that the Holy Spirit will go to work among them. We claim them under the great token. In the name of Jesus Christ. Pray, Lord, you'll get a hold of them. Oh God, change their steps. Bring them to Calvary. Bring them to the cross. Bring them to the real experience of your salvation. Lord, when they think of our burden in our hearts, then when we think of you on the cross, with the sins of the world on your shoulders, oh Jesus, oh how we love you tonight, Lord Jesus. You paid the price for our brother's healing. Lord, you paid the price for the salvation of the different ones you're praying for. Lord, you said that none of I lost that thou hast given me. Father, we ask for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Father, anoint your servants in this place. Anoint your own people. Move in every individual home. Move in every individual situation. Bind every work of the devil. Spoil his goods, I pray. In Jesus' precious name. We come against nicotine demons. We come against alcoholic demons. Unclean demons. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ against them. And the power of the cross and the resurrection of our Lord. We pray you'll deliver them people in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for Johnny Bruce tonight. Lord, touch him. From the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. Lord, save him as well. Lord, he's not far away, but I pray you'll save him. Pray, I'll bring him in. Pray, Lord, you'll heal him. Touch him. Jesus' precious name. Father, for others tonight in our hearts, touch them as well. Bring them in, Lord, I pray, in Jesus' precious name. Father, grant that you'll move by your Spirit this evening. Lord, bless your brother Paul as he travels back. Keep your hand upon him. Lord, I pray in the midst of the popery in Portugal, in the midst of all the bondage of the enemy, pray God you'll cause him to be a bright and shining light. And Lord, that it might be like it was in the beginning, that the light comprehended the darkness. Oh, bless our brother, I pray. Bless him with the work and the translation. Oh God, give them Bibles. May they reach into the hands of men and women that need them. For your word is precious. Bless them now, Lord. Bless his family. Bless his wife. Bless all that's in this room tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. I'm going to ask the brother Gary to come. Just forgive me. I'm a little bit emotional. Brother, come on ahead.
Sing that hymn, Blessed Be the Fountain of Blood to the Words of Sinners Redeemed. Blessed be the dear Son of God.